For steels, we can classify them according to the percentage of carbon. So a mild steel, less than 0.2%. This gives it some ductility, the ability to pull into wires, so we use it as cables. If we increase the proportion of carbon up to around 0.5%, we can now make a much tougher material, which can be useful for building girders. And then if we want a fully tough material for building tools, we're going to go to a higher carbon steel. So those knives I was telling you about before, they're tough, but they're not hard. It's not the same thing. So we could put a very good edge onto it, but the material doesn't hold that edge for a long period of time. Okay, so that was homogeneous alloys. We're now on to heterogeneous alloys. These ones then don't have the components uniformly dispersed. So perlite steel has got two phases. Phase one called ferrite, phase two called cementite. Now cementite, you can see, is an iron carbide. So this has got a distinct relationship between the number of ions to each carbon. And how that forms is if we take the iron, react it with carbon in a stoichiometric ratio. Notice it's an endothermic reaction, so it soaks up heat. Then we obtain this iron carbide cementite. And the picture over here, you can get the idea that this is one phase here. This is a different phase down here. And the two phases are overlapping at this point here, so it's a clearly heterogeneous material. These things then are obtained by taking your steel and heat treating it. So you notice this is an endothermic reaction here. So people often temper steel, and it's careful treatment with temperatures that determines which particular alloy that you're looking at. Now the cementite had a distinct relationship between the number of ions and carbon. We move to the next class of alloy called an intermetallic compound. It's now the same idea, but the entire material is homogeneous. So we're now saying in the case of this particular nickel-aluminium alloy that that entire structure has got exactly that formula unit. And the same deal down here for this cobalt-samarium magnet, which is used in headsets. So we've got homogeneous alloys, of which you have got substitutional alloys and interstitial alloys as a subset. You've got heterogeneous alloys, where there are two different phases or more present. And then you've got intermetallic compounds, where there's no range of compositions. It's a discrete composition right through the entire structure. So remember, back